And one other announcement, or two. Tonight, of course, is our two-year anniversary celebration party. We'll be having pizza and soda after the service. So if you could be here at 6, we'd love for you to join us tonight. And then a week from tonight, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table together. Always a very special service because we come around. Yes, Sister Sarah.
I've also made some delicious desserts.
Oh, hey, for tonight?
Oh, wow.
Oh, bring them. We'll eat them. Dessert, yeah. Pizza and soda the church will provide, so you don't have to bring anything except a hungry stomach, and we'll have a nice time. We're going to start right at 7 tonight, the celebration party, so I'll be quick, and we'll get to that, and it'll be a great time. So thankful that the Lord has brought us so far in just 2 years. We've got our own building, we've got a good congregation, and what I love about y'all is that you love Jesus Christ. You're all in love with Jesus, and that's what thrills my soul. Praise the Lord. Let's stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning and open up to hymn 52. Hymn 52 says it all. There's only one place in this world that you can find victory. And it's not in Dr. Phil or Oprah. It's in Jesus. Amen. Victory in Jesus. We'll sing the first and the second. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. A helpless groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Everybody now, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard it all, his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Thank you, Lord. And then I cried, Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me that victory. Oh, yeah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. A quick testimony before we get to the Word of God this morning. Friday night, I went to bed Friday night, and I woke up Saturday morning, and I always check the website, the count, you know, out of curiosity. Folks, we had 1,400 visitors while we slept Friday night. 1,400! Lord, is this, am I seeing correctly? So, I tell you, the website is just exploding with growth. People from all over the world are listening. Folks are getting saved. Amen. Saints are being ministered to, and Jesus is being glorified through the preached word. So what a blessing for that website. I tell you, I stand in awe at what the Lord is doing. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles this morning, folks. We'll sing again after, but let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I can tell you I had a ball preparing this morning's message yesterday. And we have an incredible passage of Scripture. In 2 Kings, oh, does anybody need a pew Bible? We got plenty of extra Bibles here. All right, everybody's got one. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have the story of Naaman, the leper. And as you know, in the Bible, leprosy is a type or picture of sin, the incurable disease of sin on man's part. There's only one way to cure that disease, and we just sang about it, the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. But here in 2 Kings chapter 5, we have a man who is a heathen pagan idolater named Naaman. He's got the disease of leprosy, and he's in a tough spot because it kills you. You know, sin will kill you. Oh, yeah, you know that. So look with me here in 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Art not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?' Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." I want to call your attention, church, to verse 14. It says, "He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, and he was made clean." I want to speak to you this morning on 7 ducks in a muddy river. That's not duck as in quack quack, but duck as in get down. And that's not muddy as in mighty, but muddy as in M-U-D-D-Y. 7 ducks in a muddy river. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for these 7 ducks of the man Naaman in the muddy river Jordan. How we thank you that he came up clean and whole and healthy and saved. And he finally came to know the God of Israel in his power, in his healing, in his saving grace. Lord, we thank you for the man of God, Elijah, which told him what to do. And Lord, we thank you for your word which tells us what to do. Lord, we thank you that any soul in this world who wants to be made whole can come to the Jordan of Jesus Christ and be dipped in the river of his blood and be made clean. Glory to God. We're so thankful for that this morning. Might get a little bit excited, Lord. But I pray you'd bless us by your Holy Spirit as we look at these seven ducks in the mighty river. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Now listen carefully, beloved. Every one another of us, at some time or another in our lives, must deal with some of the things, or all of the things, that Naaman had to deal with. Amen. In this message this morning, we want to deal with what Naaman had to deal with possibly every time he ducked down into the water. Facts of Scripture. The year is 800 BC. Listen, Naaman is a general in the Syrian army. He's a bigwig. I mean, he's a real important man. So much so that the king of Syria wants him healed of his leprosy. He was really dependent upon his military experience. We have what we call a divided monarchy. The northern 10 tribes, Israel, and the southern 2.5 tribes of Judah. To this day, beloved, there is a church in Damascus. Damascus has a population just under 2 million people. And there is a Bible-believing Christian church right there in Damascus. Paul preached there. Amen. The great apostle founded that church. Damascus is the capital of Syria. The facts of the story is that this is a historical event. It's not a parable. Amen. It's not an allegory. This is an actual historical event that took place. Now, I want to examine Naaman's seven ducks in a muddy river. The first duck I see is the duck that he had to take of his pride. Look with me in verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now the first, listen to me, Naaman was captain of the host, the military armies of Syria. He had a lot of pride. He thought he was really something because he had, and he had won many military victories indeed. Because verse 1 says the Lord allowed him to win those battles. Yes. See, everything's in the hands of God. Amen. I don't care who's the president, God is sovereign. Amen. He's in control. Look with me in the book of Proverbs. Hold your place in 2 Kings. We're coming right back. Go to Proverbs chapter number 15 in Proverbs. Incredible verse concerning the sin of pride and how we need to repent of it. Oh, all of us are vulnerable to this. In Proverbs, look with me in chapter 15. And look with me at verse 33. 15:33. We read, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what?
Humility."
Humility. What is the opposite of humility? Pride.
Pride.
Oh, I'm really something. Hey, I'm a general. I don't care what you are. Without God, you're nothing. Right? He needs to humble himself. He needs to get rid of that pride and dip himself in the Jordan, like the man of God told him. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. Look at verse 18. Here's a good one. Pride goeth before what?
Destruction.
And howdy spirit. Before a fall. Naaman, you're heading for destruction and a great fall if you don't repent of that pride. Go with me to chapter 29 of Proverbs. Oh, the Bible has so much to say on the sin of pride. God hates pride. Do you know what the sin of the devil was that caused him to fall? Pride. That's right, Catherine. Pride. And look with me in chapter 29, verse 23. A man's what?
Pride
shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, "He that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You know what we need to do? We need to repent of pride. Naaman, you've got to take the first duck in the muddy Jordan. That is the duck of repenting of your pride.
Amen.
Oh, beloved, go to Romans chapter 12 quickly. And I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. I see another duck this morning that Naaman needed to take. And that is the duck of self-esteem. He thought too much of himself. Look with me here in chapter number 5 of 2 Kings again. Look at verse number 10. He had to take the duck of self-esteem. Now repent of that. In verse number 10 we read, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, Naaman, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was what?
Wrong.
He got mad. He got mad. You know why? He thought he was above it. Me? I'm a general. You want me to what? What do you, Pastor, what are you saying about repenting and believing the gospel, getting baptized? What are you talking about? I'm an important, don't you know I make 6 figures? Don't you know I drive a Mercedes? I mean, come on, man. You can't expect me to listen to the man of God. Yes, Naaman, you best take the duck of repenting of your self-esteem, thinking too highly of himself. Romans chapter 12. You know, folks, there's a tendency in all of us to think we're more important than we are. Let me make a statement, church. Every one of us, see my thumb pointing back at me? Every one of us is dispensable. No man is indispensable in the sight of God. He can replace me like that with someone far better. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Oh yeah, we need to stop thinking too highly of ourselves. You know, we got a bunch of preachers behind pulpits today that think that they are just God on a throne. I mean, I want a $68 million jet and I want it now. Send me your $287 offering, everybody in America. You know, I mean, get real. Look in chapter 12. Of Romans. Look with me at verse 3. I love this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul says, don't start thinking that you are high and mighty. Don't think so much of yourself that you get blown up like a Goodyear blimp. Amen? We need to... Naaman had to take this second duck.
Yes.
And it was the duck of his own self-esteem. Get rid of it. Listen, if one desires to be cleansed spiritually, he or she must stop trusting in themselves and start trusting in the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? I love that because it takes my eyes off of me and puts my eyes on the one who can do something about it. I'm so thankful for that. But I see a third duck in the muddy river. Another duck that Naaman must take is the duck of self-reasoning. Look at verse 12. Back in our text in 2 Kings 5, look at verse 12. We read, and he says in verse 11, Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and... Oh, time out. See what Naaman said, the first words out of his mouth? I thought. There's a problem right there. Well, I thought... You know, Pastor, I think, quiet, stop trying to reason it out and listen to God, Naaman. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place like Benny Hinn and recover the leper. Look what he says, verse 12. Art not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You know what he's doing? He's reasoning this thing out.
Yeah.
Saying, seven dips. I can do that back home in the river Akbar. I can do it at Abner. I don't need Jordan. I don't need the man of God. I don't need Israel. I can do this my own way. I got a better plan than God. That's what he thought. You know why? Because he's reasoning. Instead of listening to God, he's trying to reason this thing out. And it'll never work. Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, were, he thought, now they were cleaner. Jordan was a muddy river. Mud. You get down there, you might take a bath afterward. But he was trying to reason with the man of God's orders. But when God speaks, his orders must be followed exactly as they were given. Even though we may not understand those orders. Go to Isaiah 55. Hold your place again. Isaiah. Look at chapter 55. This is why we cannot reason within ourselves when God tells us to do something. We must obey His marching orders. Look at this. In Isaiah 55, look at verse 9. Verse 8. God, who's speaking in verse 8? God. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. God says, you don't even begin to understand me, man. I mean, you need to be quiet and listen to what I say, and you'll be just fine, Naaman. Amen. Naaman says, "Oh, I like my rivers back home a lot better than this. You know, I got my own way of doing things, Lord." The man of God says, "Go to the Jordan. Dip seven times. You'll be clean." Yeah, let me think this over. That's the problem. The devil wants you to think it over and put it off. Now, listen carefully. Naaman's saying, the way I see it, I could get clean back home. No, you can't. You'll come up more leprous than you were, bud. But I see another duck that Naaman must take. Fourthly, it is the duck of peer pressure. Repenting of his peer pressure. Look at verse 9. 2 Kings 5, look at verse 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, with his army, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Now, here's the picture I want you to see. Naaman comes to the prophet's house, like he was told to by the king. And he comes up to Elisha's house, and he stands out front, and all of his men, his mighty men, his soldiers, are standing behind him with their horses and chariots. And he says, "Man of God, I'm told to come see you." And Elijah comes. Elijah didn't even bother to come out. He sent his servant out. That's how important Naaman was. Elijah sends his servant out, and he says, "Go dip in Jordan seven times, and you'll be clean." He says, "That's what my master told me to tell you, Naaman." Naaman is standing there and everybody's listening. You know what he had? Peer pressure. Should I listen to this lowly servant of the prophet? Or should I just go my own way and go wash in the rivers of Damascus? No, he's under tremendous pressure. Listen to me. When God is calling you, your friends are going to try to prevent you from coming to this church. Your friends are going to try to prevent you from reading that Bible. Prevent you from worshiping Jesus Christ. Prevent you from getting saved and born again. Okay. Why? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Peer pressure says, "Oh, no, no, don't listen to that preacher. Don't do what the Bible says." You know, now he was in a real pickle. He's saying, "Oh, what will they think back home? If they heard that I did what the man of God in Israel, the Jews, our enemies, said, what will they think of me?" Never mind what they'll think of you. Mind what God will think of you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's the only thing that matters in the end, folks, is what He thinks of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't care what people think. It matters what He thinks of me.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Naaman's debating. "I don't want anyone to think I'm converting to Judaism. I wouldn't want anybody to think that I'm trusting the God of Israel. Oh, I don't want anybody to think I'm becoming a Christian." Go with me to Joshua 24. Hold your place again. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua's final words to the children of Israel. Watch what he tells them. In Joshua chapter 24, look with me at verse 15. Joshua says in verse 14 to the whole congregation of Israel, "Now therefore fear the Lord." That's a good thing. "And serve Him in sincerity and truth." That's good. "Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
We will serve the Lord. He says, "I don't care how many of y'all in Israel go the other way. I don't care how many of you worship the gods of the Amorites and the idols of your fathers. We are going to serve God." I like getting up on Sunday morning. Wife, kids, get ready, get dressed, shower up. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to worship the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a settled deal in my house. There's no argument about that. We will serve the Lord. I don't care what the neighbors think. Hello. I don't care what my work associates say. I want want to serve the Lord. Amen. I want to serve him till my dying day. Naaman, you best repent of that peer pressure and serve the Lord. But I see another duck. I see the duck of shame. Look with me again in our text in 2 Kings 5. He needs to take the duck of shame. Look at it. Verse 12. Naaman says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned away and went away in a rage. Now, listen carefully, beloved. He's saying, I'm ashamed of where I am and what I'm doing right now. I'm in Israel, and the River Jordan, isn't that a Jewish river? Yeah. And I'm really uncomfortable being here. It's good to get uncomfortable for Jesus. Amen? Amen. He was ashamed of the God of Israel. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus said, he that is ashamed of me and of my words in this evil generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Listen, folks, you need to go out and boldly proclaim to this world, I am a Christian. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. I don't care which way you go. I'm going Jesus' way. Amen? Oh, folks, he needed to repent of his shame. His shame. And this is what happens when one comes to Jesus. They need to stop being ashamed of that name, which is above all names, and start boasting about it. Amen? Repent of that. Go to Luke chapter 9. Hold your place again. Luke chapter 9. Look at this verse. In Luke chapter 9, look with me at verse number 6. Luke 9 verse 26. Long chapter. In verse 26, Jesus says, verse 25, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Jesus says, listen, you can be Donald Trump, you can own a cattle on 1,000 hills, but if you lose your soul, you will be miserable forever. 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Why? Because those ones weren't ashamed. Amen. Those ones weren't ashamed of Jesus Christ. And they boldly proclaimed, I love him. Amen. You can nail me, you can burn me at the stake, but I love Jesus.
Amen.
Four children. 2 weeks ago. Four children in Syria were taken captive, Christian children, taken captive right out of Sunday school by ISIS. ISIS terrorists took these four little children who love Jesus Christ. And they said, you repent, you recant, tell and you worship Allah. And they said, we love Jesus. Chopped their heads off. They beheaded those four children. Because they wouldn't worship Allah. I'm here to tell you this morning, those children weren't ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. That's what we need to be. Have a little bit of boldness. Amen. Listen, they can come in this church and they can padlock the door and throw me in jail. I'll preach to the inmates and I'll get them baptized too. Amen. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that he needed to take the duck of shame and repent of that shame. I wouldn't want anyone to think I'm a Christian. I wouldn't want anyone to think I converted to Israel's God. You better. I'm so glad I serve the God of Israel. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, beloved. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus. But I see another duck. He needs to take the duck of obedience, sixthly. The duck of obedience. Look at verse 13. 2 Kings 5:13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? You know what he needed to do? He needed to take the duck of obedience. You know what Jesus said to do? Repent and believe the gospel. It's just that simple. Repent and believe the gospel. I got my own way. My college professor told me not to do that. Well, tell him to take a hike and trust Jesus. He need to take that duck of obedience quickly. Wait, what do you mean I have to be born again? What do you mean I have to be saved by the blood? What do you mean I have to trust in Jesus Christ for my salvation? Why aren't my good works good enough? Because you have to take the duck of obedience. Amen. The Bible says that the gospel must be obeyed. Amen. They have not all obeyed the gospel. But what does it mean? What does it mean to obey the gospel? It's simple. Jesus said it. Repent and believe. That's it. That's all you have to do to obey the gospel is believe it. It's so simple. I always tell the Lord, Lord, you made it too simple. You just made it too easy for folks to get saved. You know, if they had to climb Mount Everest or something, then it'd be a challenge. But no, it's simple. Believe. And yet, how few will take that step of obedience to believe the gospel? How few will, Naaman, take the duck of obedience, Naaman, before it's too late? Naaman had no chance of being cleansed from his leprosy, except he obeyed what God's word said.
Amen.
The lost sinner today has no chance, beloved, of being cleansed of the leprosy of sin, except they obey what God's word says.
Amen.
To believe the gospel. But I see one final duck that he must take. I see the duck of healing. The duck of healing. Look with me at verse 14. 2 Kings 5:14. Look at it. Then went he down, Naaman, and dipped himself, ducked, 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. I got good news, folks. He took the duck of healing. This is the duck that we must take. If you didn't hear anything else I said this morning, listen now. You need the duck of healing. You need the duck when you come up clean and whole and sanctified by the Spirit of God. It's the duck of healing. And it's the one that we need to take in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The duck of healing is absolutely imperative. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do also, he shall do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said, you, if you take the duck of healing, you'll serve me.
Amen.
You'll do even greater things than I've done.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad that we've got a gospel to preach.
Yes.
I'm so glad that we've got the medicine spiritually for the leprosy of sin.
Amen.
I'm so glad that we go anywhere, anytime, and tell them you can be healed by taking that duck.
Amen.
Dip thyself in the blood of the Savior and come up clean.
Amen.
Come up whole. Come up healthy and healed. Glory to God.
Glory.
Beloved, here's the good news. Naaman received his healing by simply doing what the Word of God said. Look with me in Luke chapter 4. Hold your place in 2 Kings. We're coming right back. Almost done. Luke chapter 4. Don't miss this. In Luke chapter 4, look with me at verse 24. Don't miss this. Luke 4, verse 24. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, that's with a J, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian.
Wow.
Verse 27. Jesus said it happened. Jesus said there was only one leper in the Old Testament that God is healing, and that man was Naaman. How'd he do it? By taking the duck of healing. Amen. By taking the duck of obedience. By taking the duck of getting rid of his pride. By taking the duck of getting rid of that self-esteem. By taking the duck of getting rid of that shame of his name. Naaman was healed, and Jesus said he was the only one. The only one. Why? Because he obeyed the word of God. Simple. Simple. Obey the word of God. Why did he get healed? Because of 7 ducks in a muddy river. Beloved, in closing, look with me back in our text in 2 Kings 5. We'll finish up here. Look at verse 15. Here's the good news. And he, Naaman, returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Naaman said, I now know your God. He's my God. He's the only true and living God in all the world. And I'm going back to Damascus. I'm going back to Syria. And I'm going to tell him about the God of Israel. Because he's now my God. Verse 16. But he said, as the Lord liveth, behold, for whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it. But he refused, a true man of God. He refused the gift. Hello. 17. And Naaman said, shall... You know, a lot of guys are in it for the money.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're just wolves in sheep's clothing. Look at this. Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? Israel earth. Jewish dirt. Why? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He says, I want to take back some dirt from Israel so that I can set up my altar and sacrifice only to the God of Israel, whom I now know and love. Amen. 18. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. Elisha, the man of God, said to Naaman, you can now go in peace.
Amen.
Beloved,
yeah.
Do you realize this morning in closing that for the first time in the life of Naaman, he finally has peace.
Yes.
The peace of God.
Amen.
No more leprosy.
No more leprosy.
And now he knows God personally.
Yes.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because of 7 ducks in a muddy river.
Yeah.
One last thing. I read about, I'm a historian. Dr. Leo Winters. Listen, Dr. Winters, who was a highly acclaimed Chicago surgeon, was awakened late one night by the ringing of his telephone. True story. A young boy had been tragically mangled in a late night accident. The wounds were such that Dr. Winters was the only doctor in the city, surgeon, that maybe even the whole region, who had the skill to save the boy's life. The quickest route to the hospital happened to be through a very rough area of the city. But because time was such a critical factor, Dr. Winters thought it was worth the risk to take the shortest route. He almost made it through the neighborhood, but while he was waiting at a stoplight, his door was jerked open by a man in a gray hat and a dirty flannel shirt. I've got to have your car, the man said, pulling him out of the car. Dr. Winters tried to explain the seriousness of the situation, but the man was not listening. He took off in Dr. Winters' car, stole it. The doctor wandered about for over 45 minutes before finding a phone. When he finally got a taxi and made it to the hospital, over an hour had passed. He burst through the doors into the nursing station, but the nurse on duty only shook her head. It was too late. The little boy had passed away 30 minutes earlier. She said, but his dad got here just before he died, just in time. The nurse told him, please go and see him in the chapel. He's awfully confused. He could not understand why you never came to save his son. Without explaining, Dr. Winters walked hurriedly down the hall, quietly entered the chapel. At the front knelt the huddled form of a weeping father. He was dressed in a gray hat and a dirty flannel shirt. This was the same man who had stolen the doctor's car. He said, why didn't you come, Doc? And he said, you stole my car. Folks, you know what? Listen to me. There's a great story in this lesson to be learned here. Naaman almost made the same mistake when he rode off in rage. He was about to ride away in anger and ignore Elisha's instructions, which would cure him of his leprosy. But he didn't. He stopped, and he took 7 ducks in a muddy river. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the story of Naaman, the leper who was made whole. What a picture of salvation, Lord. I'm so thankful this morning, O God, that there is a fountain that we may dip in and be made clean, be made whole, be made free of our spiritual leprosy of sin. We're so grateful for that this morning, O God. And Lord, we ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, by an uplifted hand, you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I've been cleansed by the blood. I'm not sure if I'm born again and saved. By an uplifted hand, you'd say, preacher, pray for me. Oh, praise the Lord, I see that hand. Anybody else, I see that hand. Oh, glory to God. Put them down. I see that hand and I see that hand. Put them down. In that case, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask everybody to pray out loud. If you're already saved, this won't hurt you. You're already saved, but if you're not saved, you're about to get saved. Just pray like this. Everybody pray out loud. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I do believe. That you came.
That you came.
2,000 years ago.
That you lived a perfect life.
That you died on the cross.
That you shed your blood.
For my sins. So right now, Lord Jesus.
I receive you.
As my Savior.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Purify me.
Give me your Holy Spirit.
I turn from my sin
to Jesus Christ.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals and we need to sing. I think we need to sing over that. Praise the Lord. Let's open up to hymn number 126. We'll stand and we'll sing first, third, and fourth of 126. And here's what I want you to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, you're saved. I want you to tell somebody as soon as we finish singing. You tell somebody, I'm saved. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen. All glory to God. And first, third, and fourth. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Appropriate hymn. Thank you, Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all. Dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. By faith I saw that stream, thy flowing wounds applied. Redeeming love has been my theme, and it shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Woo! Glory to God. Great singing this morning, church. I love you all. What a blessing to worship the King with you each Sunday. I truly love it. I wish we could do this every day. It's so much fun knowing Jesus and loving Him and knowing that we've been washed. Healed, cleansed, amen, in that river of His precious blood. Wow, so good to be saved. I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer, and what a blessing, the good news for him this morning. And don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, if you can join us, and afterwards we'll have a time of celebration tonight. Praise the Lord. Steve?
Holy Father, thank you for this food this day, Lord God. Thank you for this day, Lord God. Thank you for our brothers and sisters here, Lord God.
Yes, Father.
Please, Father, touch the ones that need touching, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Show them Jesus, Lord God. Show them the need in their lives for Jesus Christ. Yes. Bring more sheep to the fold, Lord God. Glorify yourself through us. It's written, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts be established. And we do this concerning the rest of the day, Lord God. Lead us and guide us into truth and where we should, where our path should lead this day, Lord. In Jesus' blessed name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.